Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Sparks team call for Monday, June 19th, 2013. Wow, tonight we have a very very special guest speaker, an author, and a success coach, and I'm honored to be able to interview such a outstanding person and mentor of mine that that's helped me get to where I am today. Tonight we're going to interview Bob Berg, this is Bob's little introduction. Can a subtle shift in focus really make a big difference in your business and your income? And when combining the shift in focus with five proven laws of success, can your business really become a lot more fun, a lot less stressful, much more profitable, and, of course, beneficial for both you and your clients? Our guest says absolutely, and yes, Bob Berg is a sought-after speaker at corporate conventions and for entrepreneurial events. He regularly addresses audiences ranging from size of 50 to 16,000 people, sharing the platform with notable such as top leaders in broadcasting, Olympic athletes, political leaders, and including a former president of the United States. Although for years Bob has been known for his best-selling book, Endless Referrals, over the past few years in his business parable, The Go-Giver, which he co-authored with John David Mann, has captured the heart and imagination of many that have read this. I've read this book now over two times, and it's just a wonderful book. This book shot to number 6 on the Wall Street Journal, business bestseller, and list 3 weeks after it's released and reached number 9 on Business Week. It's translated into 21 languages. It's the fourth book to sell over 250,000 copies. Bob is an advocate, supporter, and defender of the free enterprise system, believing that the amount of money that one makes is directly proportional to how many people they serve. He is a founding board member of Club 100, a charitable organization focused on helping underprivileged local youth. A lover of animals, he is a past president, past member of the board of directors for Safe Harbor, which is the Humane Society of Jupiter, Florida. I want to welcome Bob Berg. Yay!
Thank you. It's very kind. Great to be with you, Michael.
Oh, Bob, thanks for getting on the call. I know you're very busy and taking a few minutes out of your schedule to help us learn more about the book and hopefully really instill some of the principles that are in this book for our callers tonight and, of course, future callers that will be listening in on our recorded line. I'm in a company called AMSOIL. It's a synthetic lubricant company. We're getting ready to celebrate our 40th year this summer in July. Before I started in our business, I had no business skills at all. I hated selling fruit while I was in high school band. I just couldn't sell anything. Mm-hmm. And over the years, I've really tried different techniques and read lots and lots of books. And your book just seemed to really hit home with me of being able to give everybody that I run into a touch someone, have a positive experience. And not everybody's going to be a customer, of course. So I first read this book in 2010, and I guess the road for us to meet, the way we got on this call tonight, is I wrote a little blog review of it back in 2010, and you actually commented on it. Down the road, I think we've connected on social media, LinkedIn, and Twitter and whatnot. And one day, I think I just sent you a message and said, well, hey, would you be interested in getting on my call? And this is where we are today. So this is pretty an amazing thing, and it sounds like you kind of practice what you preach.
Thank you.
Well, hey, Bob, let's hear a little bit about your background real quick before we get started. I know you gave a little bit before we hit the record, but tell us a little bit about where you're at, where you're from, and, what you've done.
Well, began as a broadcaster. I started out in sports radio and moved to television news for a very small ABC affiliate in the Midwest, and I was very young. I was 24 years old, and I was the late night news guy out there. But really, I was certainly not a journalist. I mean, I was probably the worst newscaster you've ever seen. I could read the news, but I had no idea of journalism or what made the news, and really I didn't care. So that wasn't a good match, and I was probably a little bit too positive for the medium anyway. My idea of a good newscast opening would have been to say something like, "Good evening, everyone. I'm Bob Berg, and the news tonight, everything's great. Go to bed. We'll let you know if something comes up." And so obviously Tom Brokaw I was not, and I soon found myself not in television. But I graduated into sales. Now, going back a little bit to what you said about your beginning sales career when you were in high school, I was not equipped to sell because the training was non-existent at best. And so while I intuitively knew that selling was about providing value to the customer, I had no idea how to do it. I had the motivation, but I didn't have the information. So at first I floundered and eventually came across a book in the bookstore. Now, this is 30 years ago now. Came across a book by Tom Hopkins, now a classic, called How to Master the Art of Selling. And when I saw the title in the bookstore, I was very encouraged. Why? Because just the title, Master the Art of Selling, I had no idea there was an art to it. I didn't realize there was a system. I just thought you did it. You went in there because that was my training. And so I got the book, and I studied it, and I just absolutely devoured it. And within 3 weeks, my sales went through the roof. Now, what was the difference between where I was when I started out 3 weeks earlier and 3 weeks later? Nothing other than information. I had a system, and I define a system as simply the process of predictably achieving a goal based on a logical and specific set of how-to principles, the key being predictability. If it's been proven that by doing A, you'll get the desired result of B, then you know that all you need to do is A, and do A consistently enough, and you'll get the desired result of B. It's like Michael Gerber of the E-Myth series talks about the benefit of following a system. Systems permit ordinary people to achieve extraordinary results predictably. And so
the batting average in baseball, you keep hitting balls, you're going to increase your batting average. And, you know, after every 10 hits, you're going to, or every 10 balls thrown at you, you're going to predictably hit so many of those.
Exactly. And, you know, of course, you present a system and you teach the people in your organization what to do so they can actually come into the business regardless of their background, and they can have a workable system that can help them predictably achieve success. And so when I got the idea that not only did I not have to reinvent the wheel, but I was really not capable of doing such, and fortunately there were many wheels out there, I made a study of sales and began studying personal development. Heroes of mine became people like Zig Ziglar and Og Mandino and you know, the various people we get to learn from, and you know, so it was really a neat thing. And eventually I worked my way up to sales manager of a company, and from there started showing other people what I was doing, and it sort of morphed into a career speaking and teaching others how to sell and create relationships that would result in really never running out of new high quality prospects.
Okay. Wow. That was a mouthful. And so now you live in Florida, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And you travel around the country, and you speak for corporations of all sizes and give some information on this book that we're so interested in hearing about, The Go-Giver. The title just seems like, okay, it sounds some kind of touchy-feely, give-me-a-warm-feeling type of thing. And, you know, shouldn't it be the go-getter? If you're in sales, Bob, tell us a little bit about the title.
Well, I think you touched on a couple of very important points. First, the title, The Go-Giver, the basic premise, and of course, as you know, it's a story. It's a business parable or a fable, so it's a short, quick read with a message. And the basic premise of the Go-Giver is simply that shifting one's focus, and this is the key, shifting one's focus from getting to giving. Now, in this case, when we say giving, we mean constantly and consistently providing value. And doing this is not only a nice way to live life, but a very financially profitable way as well. Because in the basically free market economy in which we live, we certainly don't live in a true free market economy, but we still have at least the remnants of it, and it still operates, it still works. People are going to buy from you, do business with you, because they believe there's going to be value to them in doing so. And this is fine. That's how it is, which means that to the degree that you can move from an I focus or a me focus to what I call an other focus, focus, again, on creating value for that other person, that's the degree you're going to be successful. Now, you take the title, the Go-Giver, it sounds touchy-feely, and people say, well, are you just really saying that nice guys, nice gals, nice people finish first? Not at all. Now, being nice is a good thing. I mean, certainly being nice is very helpful when it comes to doing business, because obviously people like you more, they're more attracted to you, they're more interested in being in a business relationship with you when you're a genuinely nice, kind person. But we also know that it's not enough to be successful just being nice. I mean, you and I and everyone listening to this, we all know plenty of people who we would describe as simply nice people who we would also have to describe as simply broke people. So while being nice is very important, and it's just a good thing in and of itself, success is—it's not enough for someone to be successful just being nice. Success is also a matter of doing the correct things in the success process that allows a person to be successful and finish first, if you will. And the five laws that John and I, my excellent co-author John David Mann, and I provide in the book are simply meant to share those principles that if someone will use all five of them together in conjunction, so not one, two, three, or even four of them, but all five, they must be successful. Now, regarding what you said about go-giver and go-getter, here's the interesting thing. We love go-getters. You know, we're often asked, are you and John saying being a go-getter isn't a good thing? Well, no, we love go-getters. Go-getters take action. Go-getters get things done. everyone on this call tonight, we are all business people, and we know you can have the best thoughts, the best ideas, the greatest intent, and unless action is put into the mix, nothing's going to happen. It simply cannot happen. Now, the neat thing is there's no natural division between being a go-getter and a go-giver. Many go-getters are also go-givers, and every go-giver is also a go-getter. The opposite of a go-giver is a go-taker. And that's that person who feels almost entitled, if you will, to take without having added value to the person, to the process, to the situation. They tend to be very focused on themselves, and they tend to be very frustrated because they rarely achieve the level of success they feel they deserve. And even when they have a couple of quick hits, it doesn't tend to last because it's not built on a healthy foundation. So we like people to be both go-getters and go-givers, just not go-takers. But when we refer to someone as a go-giver, we're simply talking about that man or woman who understands that shifting their focus off of themselves and onto serving others, that's the person who accomplishes the most.
Well, that makes perfect sense. And exactly, never thought about it as the go-getter versus the go-taker,
right.
You know, what's in it for me. And I guess that'll move us on here to the five laws. We've talked about the first one a little bit, and you said you really have to have all five of them for it to work. The law of value, the law of compensation, the law of influence, the law of authenticity, and the law of receptivity. That was really an interesting part of the book. A lot of people aren't receptive to allowing success and so forth. But let's kind of go over a couple of these, or I guess briefly, the five laws. You probably have them all memorized and can go over them quicker than I could.
Sure. Well, the law of value says that your true worth is determined by how much more you give in value than you take in payment. Now, this sounds counterproductive when you first hear it. I mean, it sounds like a recipe for bankruptcy. How do I give more in value than I take in payment? I mean, that sounds like a touchy-feely, nicey-nicey thing that wouldn't really work in the real world. So we simply have to understand the difference between price and value. A price is a dollar figure. It's a dollar amount. It's finite. It is what it is. Value, on the other hand, is the relative worth or desirability of a thing to the end user or beholder. In other words, what is it about this thing, this product, this service, this concept, this idea that brings with it so much worth, so much value, if you will, that someone will willingly exchange their money for it and be ecstatic that they did while you make a very healthy profit. Let's take an example outside the business. You hire an accountant. And you and many of the people you're bringing along are going to need an accountant to help save you on taxes for all the money that you're bringing in, which is a good thing. And this accountant charges you, we're just going to name a round figure, charges you $1,000. That's his fee or his price. But what value does he give you in exchange for this $1,000 price? Well, he saves you $5,000 in taxes. He saves you countless hours of doing it yourself so that you can be out doing what you want to do and what you are more qualified to do and more productive doing. He also provides you with the security and the peace of mind of knowing it was done correctly. So we see here that value can be both concrete, you know, in terms of that $5,000 tax savings, but also conceptual in terms of the peace of mind. Well, so he gave you well over $5,000 in value in exchange for a $1,000 price. He gave you more in value than he took in payment. So you feel great about it, and he made a very, very healthy profit. Let's say someone in your organization has a customer. We'll talk in terms not of building the not of business builders, but just in terms of a customer, consumer, and they purchase from you some liquid fertilizer. Let's just say, and you charge a certain amount of money, which they pay. Now, for what they're paying, they're getting more in value than what they take in payment. If they didn't feel that way, they wouldn't make that trade, because an economic law says people exchange their money for that which they feel is of equal or greater value than what they're paying for. So they are getting all the benefits that they get from utilizing your terrific product is worth much more to them than the money they're paying for it. And, of course, you sell it at a profit, so you're able to make a profit through the sale of that product. See, the key is the focus. Money is simply an echo of value. It's the thunder to value's lightning, which means nothing more than the value comes first, and the money is simply a very natural result of the value that's been provided. So that's really the law of value. Give more in value or use value than what you take in payment or cash value. That way, both sides not only win, but both sides come away from it much better off than they were before. And that's the essence of a free market voluntary exchange. Both parties come away from the transaction better off after it than they were before it.
Oh, okay. Wow, that's a mouthful, but it definitely makes sense. And understanding that, and I believe that probably is something you'd have to work on if you were in sales and you're trying to learn more about your product of giving that value. And I guess the law of value would also, if we're all selling the same exact product, we're all selling a liquid fertilizer, what's going to set us apart? The fact that we're giving ourselves as a valuable tool for our customers and helping them to relate to understand that. is also part of that equation, not just the exchange of money, but you're
getting
Michael Sparks as part of the transaction. So you have to really kind of work on some of your own interpersonal skills as well.
It's a huge part of it, Michael, because let's face it, a product, as great as it is still a product. It still is literally the same product someone else has. And the key is that you've got to make yourself that additional value. How? Well, there are probably thousands of ways, but they tend to come down to five, what John David Mann and I call elements of value. And they are excellence, consistency, attention, empathy, and appreciation. And when you communicate any and or all of these elements of value to your customers, that's when you have separated yourself. That is when you have increased your value to that person. That way you can sell on value rather than trying to sell on low price. And see, so many people when they're selling the same basic product, they try to play that low price game. But what happens is when you try to sell on price, you become a commodity in your prospect's eyes. When you sell on value, now you're a resource. So rather than trying to explain away price, I want them to focus on finding ways to both increase and communicate that additional value to their customers.
Oh, okay. Wow. So I guess when you provide all these things of value and so forth, you're going to get compensated somehow with this, and that'll take you on to the next, the law of compensation, and mm-hmm. I guess the law of influence. Those kind of go together, don't they?
Well, they all do. They all go together, and yet they each kind of work separately, but they build upon one another. The law of compensation simply says your income is determined by how many people you serve and how well you serve them. So where law number one says to give more in value than you take in payment, law number two tells us that the more people whose lives you add this kind of exceptional value to, the more money with which you'll be rewarded. If you take your accountant in the first example, he did a great job of giving you more in value than he took in payment. So if you're his client, you feel great about him, you do business with him again, and you'd probably refer him and introduce him to other potential clients. His other clients probably feel the same way. So our accountant is very quickly amassing an army of personal walking ambassadors. And as he continues to add that kind of exceptional value to the lives of more and more people, his income will continue to grow and grow. You know, if you have one customer, you're probably not going to make a whole lot of money. But between people in your organization and the various customers, you know, there's a whole bunch of lives that you have a chance to touch, both directly and indirectly. In the story, Nicole Martin, the CEO, told Joe that as important as providing great value is, that only represents law number one, the law of value, that represents your potential income. Law number two, your actual income is determined by your reach, how many lives you impact with the exceptional value that you provide. We could almost take laws one and two and summarize them by saying exceptional value plus significant reach equals very, very high compensation.
Exactly. And the last few here we've talked about, I don't want to take up the whole time talking about our laws, but we might
That's
as well
okay.
go over the rest of them real quick. And
I'll do a thumbnail. Law number three is the law of influence. The law of influence says your influence is determined by how abundantly you place other people's interests first. Counterintuitive, sure, but very effective. Every great leader, every top influencer, every highly profitable producer, this is how they conduct their lives and run their businesses. They're always looking for ways to place other people's interests first. Now, this does not mean that you're anybody's doormat, a martyr, or self-sacrificial in any way. Not at all. It's just that the golden rule of business, of sales, of networking says, all things being equal, people will do business with and refer business to those people they know, like, and trust. And there's no more faster, powerful, or more effective way to elicit those feelings toward you than by caring about them, placing their interests first, making your wins about their wins. Now, law number four is the law of authenticity. And this says the most valuable gift you have to offer is yourself. In the story, Deborah Davenport, one of the mentors, explained that early in her career, she learned a very important lesson, and that is all the skills in the world, the sales skills, technical skills, people skills, as important as they are, and they are very important, they're all for naught if you don't come at it from your true, authentic core. But when you do, when you, as I like to say, you show up as yourself day after day, week after week, month after month, people feel good about you. They're comfortable with you. They know you. They like you. They trust you. They are attracted to you, and they are interested in being in business relationship with you. People respect authenticity. They respect congruency. Law number five is the law of receptivity. And this law says the key to effective giving is to stay open to receiving. This means nothing more than that we breathe out and we breathe in. It's not one or the other. We've got to do both. We breathe out carbon dioxide. We breathe in oxygen. We breathe out, which is giving. We breathe in, which is receiving. A big mistake most people make, I think, Michael, and I think this is a function of society and how we've been, you know, we're given so many negative messages about money and so many messages of lack. And this is, you know, for many, it's a matter of a combination of upbringing, environment, schooling, news media, television, movies, where we're taught so often that, you know, money is evil and being poor is righteous and all this other, you know, this malarkey that we're taught, and we accept unconsciously. And so what happens is a lot of people, they think that giving and receiving are opposite concepts, but they're not. Giving and receiving are simply two sides of the very same coin, and they work in tandem. To focus on one side of the equation only, while trying to minimize the other, is really an exercise in futility. Because when you think of it, every giving is made possible only because it's also a receiving. Every receiving is made possible only because it's also a giving. And so the key is not, are you a giver or a receiver? That's that treacherous dichotomy. No, you're both. You're a giver and a receiver. The key is focus on the giving, giving value. Focus on the giving and allow the receiving.
Well, that's excellent advice, and it definitely makes sense once you read it in the book and hear the story and how it's told in the proper context. That obviously, You got to read the book to really to understand. You don't have to read the book to understand it, but it definitely, in the story form, it's very impressive. But let's say a lot of people read. They might read this book, or they might be used to going out and doing sales and what's in it for me. And I'm only making a connection so that I can use this person to get more sales or whatever. Do you find that there's a time that it takes for people to kind of really let this sink in? You might have to read it twice. You might have to practice some of this stuff. But how would you go about doing the transformation or understanding of this further?
Well, any of the laws that one would find not to be their nature at this time, you make it your nature by doing it. That's why in the story, if you'll recall, the one condition for mentorship that Pindar, the main mentor, gave Joe was that he had to apply the law he learned that day. He had to apply it that very night. Not think about it, not question whether it would work, just apply it. He didn't even have to apply it well, and a couple times he really didn't, but yeah, to apply it. And so let's say, for example, that, you know, you're really very focused on yourself only, and that's just your nature. It's how you've, you know, been taught. It's whatever it is. Well, the first thing is to kind of say to yourself, how's that been working for me? Because if it's been working for you, great, and you're happy and you're healthy and you're wealthy and all, you know, everything's great, keep doing what you're doing. The chances are you're probably not, if that's how you do things. But you know, you have to, before you try something a little bit different, you've got to maybe not be totally satisfied where you are and be open to change. And so the second thing is, you know, you read the laws and you apply them. And you don't you don't say to yourself, well, I need to feel that way first before I do it. If one of the best books I ever read, you read it years ago, The Magic of Thinking Big by Dr. David Schwartz. I'm sure you've read that book.
Oh, yeah.
And he was the first one who really taught me that action precedes feeling. You know, I give the example, and it's a common example, but, you know, if you feel kind of sad, just put a huge, big smile on your face. Just a huge smile. The change in physiology, just by smiling, that reworks the chemicals. It sends endorphins through it. You can't smile and be sad, you know, assuming, of course, that, you know, we're not talking about a chemical problem or a catastrophe, but just you feel kind of sad. You smile, you're not going to feel sad anymore. If you feel kind of lazy and lackadaisical, stand up, stand straight, walk fast, walk tall. All of a sudden, you'll feel more energetic. Action precedes feelings. So the best way to take on and be able to adopt the laws in the book is to just follow the laws.
That's perfect sense. And, you know, since we scheduled our interview, I obviously went back and reread some of your books, and I actually hadn't read the Go Givers Sell More. Would you say that this book is the how-to of the Go Giver?
Well, yeah, you know, it's sort of, I think you're right. It's the application base. We have a lot of stories in there from people who wrote in with the success they had using the Go-Giver. And, of course, we talk about people who were doing these things long before the Go-Giver ever came out. I would say my book, Endless Referrals, is actually the how-to of the Go-Giver. but Go-Givers Sell More is, yes, the more the application base. It's the explanation, really, of what the laws really mean and how to apply them.
Yeah, I think when I recommend it, people say you got to read the story and then you got to read the book and maybe read the story again and then you really have it. So it was really good, really good.
Thank you.
One thing, I see a lot of people, I'm a social media kind of guy on the internet, and before we close up here, how do you think this go giving fits in on social media? I think I see a lot of people doing it wrong, if you know what I mean. Would you say that people should think about that when they're trying to make connections, especially on the internet?
Yeah, well, remember that the internet and the various social media, those are they're just that, they're media. They're not the relationship itself. And social media and success with social media is still all about creating relationships. How do you create relationships? You take a genuine interest in the other person, and you focus on how you can provide value to that other person. You know, when we say all things being equal, people do business with, refer business to those people they know, like, and trust. They don't do business with and refer business to computers. But it's that person in front of the computer. And, you know, I can tell you firsthand, you can build relationships even quicker via social media than one-on-one sometimes. It's amazing how that happens. But the key is you still do the same thing. You still focus on the other person. You don't connect with someone for what you can get from them. You focus on what you can give to them in value. And as you do this, you're planting you're planting these seeds of goodwill, of great will. You're creating a benevolent context for your success as you do that. And you become that go-to person.
Oh, excellent stuff. And people, social media, I think it's just out there to throw up on people or whatever. And it's really, I think, like you say, about creating relationships. I've got relationships with people that I've not even done business with, but that have helped me, and I help them. And giving value back to them as much as I possibly can. If I learn something from them, I'm going to share something with them of what I learned and so forth. And I honestly think that people should incorporate things of the book with the social media. Final thought, you know, what's the one thing somebody should remember in order to be successful, Bob?
I think when it comes right down to it, it is to know that it really isn't about you, it's about the other person. And that's what the top producers, you know, leaders like yourself, I mean, that's how you live your life. You're focused on building the people in your organization. This is what those level five leaders do. It's who they are. And it's understanding that to the degree that you can build others, that's the degree to which you're going to build yourself. But the focus is always on the other person.
Excellent. I tend to agree, and you know, you sometimes have to grow into it. I was looking back when I first started, it was all about me, and I really do try to provide information, whether it's for my customers. I try to say, well, you get me for free, and I'm providing you this and this and this, or those in my team, those in my company, I try to provide them value so that they can become a better company. It's just not always about me. And we do definitely appreciate you getting on the call tonight, Bob. As far as buying your books and all your information, what's the best way to do that? Should they just go to Amazon? Should they go to your website?
Berg, BURG.com. And while they're there, they can subscribe to my Influence and Success Insights. They can check out my blog. They can see on the right-hand side, it says there's a graphic of the book, The Go-Giver, and there's a little little movie, animated video that they can look at that will give them kind of an overview of the story, and then they can download chapter one if they'd like to see if they like it. So they can pretty much find everything that they need right at berg.com.
Well, excellent. Thanks, Bob, and I appreciate you getting on the call tonight. And I'm looking forward to our continued connection via the Internet, and I hope that one day we can meet each other in person live, whether it's at an event or, you know, wherever. So I'm looking forward to that day.
Well, thank you. Likewise, absolutely, and thanks so much for having me on the call, and I wish everyone listening just the best of success.
Thanks, Bob. I appreciate that. And with that, pull a call off mute. Everybody, appreciate Bob. Give him a round of applause. Thank you. Yay.
Yay, Bob. Good job.
Thank you.
Good.